and continue our studies there. I got lots of echo. Does it sound like an echo?
Yeah.
That's Glenn's fault. Glenn, I'm in. That's called the revenge of Glenn. Praise God. All right, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2 tonight. We're going to cover a few verses tonight. Beginning in verse 13. We left off last time, I think, with verse... Yeah, we did... several verses, 10, 11, 12. And tonight we're in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We want to cover these, what is that, four or five verses tonight. And this section, Peter is going to deal with some very practical things, what our attitude and conduct is supposed to be towards. Tonight we'll deal with our attitude and conduct towards the government, our own government, and then he'll deal with attitude towards if you're a servant or you're an employee towards your employer. But, you know, our faith in Christ is supposed to affect, influence the way we act. It's even supposed to influence our attitudes. Not only what we do, but the attitude we have when we do it. So, Our very thoughts, our very words, Christianity is supposed to permeate our entire being so that we actually act like Christians. That would be a really novel idea, but we're supposed to act like Christians, and we're supposed to act like Christians always. Not just when we feel good or in a good mood. We're supposed to act like Christians when people provoke us. We're supposed to act like Christians when people insult us. Amen. Or say offensive things to us. We're even supposed to act like Christians when our own government does things that we believe are contrary to the Word of God, or when our leaders, our secular leaders, do not behave as they should. Still, our conduct is supposed to reflect the fact that you and I are Christians. So, first and foremost, let's see what our conduct is supposed to be. Verse 13, this is the very first verse we're reading. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king, the supreme, or governors, and so on. But first of all, let's see that our attitude is supposed to be one of submission. The idea of ordinance here has to do with we're to submit ourselves to the human ordinances, the institutions that God has established, the authorities, those that are in charge. we should be, if we were going to just, in short, we should be law-abiding citizens, each and every one of us law-abiding. And let's keep in mind, Peter's writing to a church that is being persecuted. Although the persecution is about to break out much, much worse, persecution has already begun. And he's telling a persecuted church to submit to the ordinances of the government in which they live. And this would be the regulations, the laws of whatever government, whatever institutions the believer may live in, because Christians live under all kinds of governments all over the world. And yet, they are able to conduct their Christian faith, although not everybody can do it openly. But we're stating a principle here that the believer is to submit to the laws, ordinances, regulations of their government, wherever they live. He doesn't say submit if it's a good government. He doesn't say submit if you like the politicians that are in charge. He doesn't say obey the laws if your favorite candidate's in office or not in office. Now, it's important that we cover these things because our conduct is not supposed to degenerate until we act like the rest of the world. Now, let me tell you, the rest of the world is angry.
That's true.
That's not supposed to be us. If we're angry at all, the Bible says we should be angry at sin. And if we're angry at all, it should be at sin in our own lives.
Amen.
And areas of our own lives that are not brought into submission. Philippians 3, verse 20, let's remember, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. That does not mean, however, that we can ignore the laws of whatever country we live in. You can't say when the police pull you over, well, look, I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't have to obey these laws over here. No, we have to obey them. And notice this, what he says in verse 13. We're supposed to obey them for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Williams, in his translation, he says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. For the Lord's sake. One version translates it, on account of the Lord. Submit to the ordinances on account of the Lord or because of the Lord. Another one says, in order to please the Lord. If we're going to please him, what should we do? We should follow his example. Follow his example, and we should follow his teaching. And of course, that would be the scriptures. We are to walk as he walked. He followed the laws of the land. He didn't attempt an insurrection against the Roman government, even though they were very oppressive towards the Jews. You know, they tried to accuse him of raising up a rabble to follow him in a revolt or a rebellion, but he never did that. He never encouraged his disciples to take up a rebellious attitude towards the government, even though the government was oppressive and the government was, hey, this is Rome. They were corrupt and they were immoral and they were ungodly. In fact, Nero was in the emperor of Rome at the time. And here you have Peter saying, you submit to the laws of man and you do it for the Lord's sake. The point being, the Lord did not advocate rebellion. He did not promote discord against the government. He did not say, we're going to riot in the streets and burn down all the stores that are owned by Romans. No, he didn't do any of those things. We obey the law. We live, Christian, we live as law-abiding citizens. We should be the best citizens in the country. We obey the laws. We don't cause trouble. We're not troublemakers. Our attitude is not wrong towards officials, even when we don't personally like the laws. I have to talk to myself about these things, too. I'm not just talking to everybody else. But notice, verse 13, we submit yourself, because nobody's going to submit for you. So you have to submit yourself. You have to talk to yourself. Rusty, shut up. Don't be a smart aleck. You know, when I was young, I was a smart aleck. Believe me, I got myself in a whole lot of trouble for being a smart aleck. And then you learn that it doesn't pay. And then you become a Christian and you got to deal with so many attitudes. I remember years ago, maybe I shouldn't tell that story, but anyway. I was, you know, just being a smart aleck, just a smart aleck. I had an old hot rod Ford, and we used to drag race on Elysian Fields Avenue. Anybody that came along, we would drag race. Well, Diane was with me, I think. They had a car pulled over. The police were writing out a ticket, and I drove past. I had open exhaust, open headers. There was no mufflers in my car. So when I drove past, I looked at the policeman and revved my engine real loud. It was just, "Rumble, rumble," and I waved and drove on by. I didn't get far. He pulled me over. I figured he was busy writing out tickets. But boy, he came and got us and wrote me out a ticket. And I was just being a smart aleck. That's, you know. So I try to keep mufflers on my car now. And I don't harass the police, not intentionally. Or unto governors as unto, I was a teenager, by the way. So, I mean, you know, I'm going back a few years. That's at least 10, 15 years ago. So. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So we're to recognize that governments have the authority to punish lawbreakers. They have that authority. Every government has the ability, authority, to punish those who break the law, evildoers. Now, this doesn't mean all governments are good, because they're not. In fact, no governments are good. Not really, because the secular leaders are unsaved. And even if the head honcho is saved, the rest of the folks that are in authority are not. So, you know, you've got corruption in every government. You've got ungodliness in every government. Most, if not, I would say most are definitely not saved. But you know what the Bible says? You submit to them and you obey the laws. Submit yourselves. This is an interesting word, by the way. Back here in verse 13, submit yourselves. I want you to look at it with me again. The word is hupotasso. It means to arrange under. That's what it is. Arrange under. Hupo, it means beneath or under. And tasso, to arrange, to assign. So here's the idea. If you arrange yourself under the government, what it means is you are subject to them. You are obedient to them. You are obedient to their commands. Now, I told you that for a reason, because I'm going to come back to that word after a while. But that's what it means, to be subject to be obedient to. In fact, Paul uses this exact same word in Titus 2:9. You don't have to turn there, but in Titus 2:9, he says, Paul is saying to Titus, rather, exhort servants to be obedient to their masters. That's that same word, hupotasso. to be obedient to their masters. So when it talks about being subject, that's what it means. You be obedient and you submit yourself. Verse 13, look at it. Submit yourselves to most of the laws. To some of the laws. To your favorite laws only. No. Here, the word ordinance, it just has to do with the human institution of government. That's what it deals with, the institution of government. Its laws, its rules, and while there's many different kinds of government, we're to submit ourselves to those who have authority, because the government can punish lawbreakers. Yes, ma'am, you have a question or a comment? Well, okay.
Okay, what if your government is implementing laws that may require you to, you be in obedience to them, but you may be in disobedience to God?
I'm going to come to that. It's a very good question. I am going to get to that, because that's a important question for us to consider. But I'm going to come to it in a minute. So our submission is to the government officials, especially those that are administering in any capacity, whatever their office is. You know, he talks first about the king as supreme. We don't have kings, but there's very few kings in the world left, but there are some. But what's he really talking about? Those who are in the head, in control. So to us, that would be a president. Other countries, it might be a prime minister. But the king is supreme, or governors, you know, these would be lesser officials, or unto those that are sent by him. This trickles all the way down to every kind of authority you can imagine, lesser rulers, all the way down to the police, who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. So, ideally, they punish evildoers. But we know it's not an ideal world. And we know that there are miscarriages of justice, because in this world there are inequities. In this world there is corruption. In this world, you can't say that the police are always going to be trustworthy. Nevertheless, you and I are called to be submissive to them. They want to see your license, show it to them. Don't be a smart aleck. Like the guy said, go get your own. That don't go over well. Here's the idea. Those who do right and obey the law, showing the proper regard for the law and for the office that they represent, for the authority that they represent, you usually don't have a problem. Ideally. Of course, we know that in our world that doesn't always pan out the way it's supposed to. But those who do right according to the scripture, they obey the law, they're commended, lauded, rewarded. Even if you're just rewarded by this knowledge that the police are actually paid to protect you, to respond when people have guns and they're trying to do you harm. Everybody else runs the other way. They run towards the danger. You don't want their job. You don't want to chase an armed, angry drug addict down a dark alley. You don't want to do that. So let's be respectful, and let's be thankful that we do have a government. At times, you might consider it a totally dysfunctional government, but, and like one fella said, it's the worst government on the earth, except for all the other governments. So, you know, we pray for our government. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We pray for those who are in authority. And let's remember that we do this because it's for the Lord's sake, because God is the one who puts them in office. And if you'll put your finger here, we're going to turn over to Romans 13. I know this is probably familiar to most of us, but I'm coming right back, so put your finger right here, and let's turn to Romans chapter 13. I want us to see that the governments, as the Bible says, are established by the Lord. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul, that means everyone, no exemptions. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This has to do with the government that's in power. For there is no power, no authority, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Or as the margin reads, the governments that be are ordered by God. I'm going to read this in a couple of different versions, because I want you to hear how they translate it. One version says, let every soul be subject to the authorities that are above him, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are set up by God. Now, let's let this sink in, please, because this is important that we don't shrug our shoulders at instructions, clear instructions that the Bible gives us regarding our conduct and attitude towards the government. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Another version says, every person should obey the government in power. No government would exist if it hadn't been established by God. The governments which exist have been put in place by God. Keep in mind, Nero was emperor at the time in Rome. He was not a good man. He reigned as emperor from about 54 AD until 68 AD. He is the emperor who enacted some terrible persecutions against the Christians in Rome. They were killing Christians in quite a variety of ways. Ways so horrible that it's actually unimaginable that people could do these things to other human beings. But Christians were arrested simply because they were Christians. And they were made spectacles in the arena. They were the entertainment, feeding them to wild dogs, feeding them to hungry lions. They just threw them in there and let the animals tear them apart. They let gladiators butcher them. They just used them as entertainment and sport. Even the population of Rome, who was used to blood sport, they saw the Christians defenseless. They saw them being fed to lions, torn apart by wild dogs. Nero even had molten tar poured over Christians, had them impaled on stakes, poured molten tar over them and set them on fire so that they could light up the arena at night. They did horrible things, horrible atrocities. The public turned sour against Nero because it was so brutal, it was so vicious. And what did the Christians do? The Christians hadn't done anything. They were just made the objects of sport. But I want you to think about this. Peter, according to church tradition, died somewhere between 64 and 68 AD under these Neronian persecutions. He's the one who told us, you submit to the ordinances, you submit to the government. Paul, who wrote this passage right here in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, There's no authority except what God has ordained. The powers that are there because God put them there. Paul was also arrested, and according to church tradition, killed right around 68, maybe 67 A.D. under Nero's persecutions. So you think about it. Both Peter and Paul, who told us to submit to this government, was killed by the very government they submitted to. Both men, by divine inspiration, told you and me, and every Christian for all time, you be subject to the authorities. Don't be a rebel. Don't advocate anarchy. We are not anarchists. We are law-abiding citizens. Amen. As Christians. We are law-abiding citizens. We don't rebel. We don't riot. We don't act like the world. We don't act like devils. He says here in this chapter, Romans 13, you're still there, right? Whosoever therefore, verse 2, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, remember I told you we were going to come back to that word just a second, Dave. Come back to that word, hupotasso, that meant to submit yourself under. Well, this word resist, whosoever resisteth the government, the authorities, this is also a very interesting word, because this word is antitasso or antitassomai, which, you know what anti means? Right. Opposed to resist, to do the opposite of. So while hupotasso means to arrange yourself under, to be subordinate to, antitassomai, the word here, means to arrange yourself against, to oppose. You know when the Bible says God resists the proud? That's the same word right there. He resists. It actually means to put yourself in battle array against. So there are those who resist the authorities, you know, like they're at war with the authorities, they're rebels, they're defiant. That's not to be the Christian's attitude. Okay, Dave, go ahead. Let's get you a mic.
This is really hard for most people in the world to accept, because they're thinking here and now, I've only got a few years, I want to be happy here. But Christians are basing our lives on an eternal book that's up above time. And we know we're here for the blink of an eye. So whatever happens to you here, it's nothing. You know, like the Bible says, we're just a vapor. We're like the grass that fades. So we've got eternity ahead of us. So we can put up with stuff.
You're right, Dave. And that's a perspective we have to have. We have to have an eternal perspective. We have to realize, beloved, that we are disciples of the Master, and we are therefore different. We're not like the world. We don't act like them. We don't react like them. We don't conduct ourselves the way they do. Whoso resisteth the authorities. Yep, now this makes you an anarchist. You make yourself opposed to those in authority. And notice what he says. They resist the ordinance, the very arrangement, the appointment, the institution. They resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist will receive to themselves, King James says, damnation. The word means condemnation or judgment. You don't want to be opposed to what God has ordained, right? You don't want to be opposed to what he has established. And then he tells us, verse 3, for the rulers are not a terror to good works. The authorities are a threat to lawbreakers, not law keepers. Again, ideally. He says, verse 3, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, of the authorities? You don't want to be afraid of those in authority. You don't want to be afraid of whoever these officials are. Well, do what's good, and you don't have to be afraid of them. You'll receive their approval, the idea is. The authorities are not a terror to good conduct. They're a terror to bad conduct. And again, ideally, are there injustices? Yes. Or is there corruption in the world? Yes. Does that give us the right to defy our government and rebel against it? It does not. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. He is the minister of God. He is God's servant. That's the idea. For good. It's their duty. It's their duty to help. But, he says in verse 4, but if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Why? For he does not bear the sword in vain. In those days, the soldiers, the officials, they carried a sword around on their belt. Today, they carry a gun around on their holster. And they don't carry it for show. It's actually loaded, and they have the authority to use force, even lethal force, against lawbreakers. So he says, he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon those that do evil. They don't wear the sword for no purpose at all, the idea. They are an administrator of justice or punishment upon evildoers. Verse 5, therefore, you must needs be subject. You must be subject, he says. Not only for wrath, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. I want to read this in another version. It says, so you must obey the government, not just because you might be punished, but because you know it's the right thing to do. Even if they're doing the wrong thing, we must do the right thing. Even if they're being ungodly, we have to remember we remain godly for the Lord's sake. It says in verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also. The idea of tribute here is taxes. Pay your taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Pay taxes. This is the reason why you pay taxes. One version says, this is the reason why you pay taxes, because these tax collectors, tax gatherers, are ministers of God devoting their energies to this very work. You would never consider them a minister of God. The tax man cometh, Lord have mercy. And yet the Bible tells us you pay your taxes. The Lord himself paid taxes when and he told us, you render to Caesar what is Caesar's. He says, you pay your taxes. This is how the government supports itself, fixes the roads, bridges in most cities, provides for police, protection and armies and navies. And, hey, the government's got a lot of bills to pay. So, verse 6, this is the reason why you pay your taxes. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That is, you know what it means. Pay your taxes, give Caesar what is Caesar's, swallow hard. Swallow hard and give them what you owe them. Pay it. One version translates it, give everyone what you owe them. If you owe them any kind of tax, pay it. Show respect to those that you should respect, and show honor to those you should honor. There are a lot of Christians who take issue with these verses, and they believe that we should only do this if the government is good and godly. Because why should we pay our taxes to a government that uses that tax money to fund evil things like abortion on demand, or other evils, you know, sex education in the schools, or whatever? Why should we support what is ungodly and immoral and so on with our tax dollars? So it's our Christian duty to refuse to support these things as long as the government funds them. Refuse to pay taxes as long as the government keeps funding those things. Well, that's really not what the Bible says. Just take the Bible for what it says. Let's keep in mind, Rome was corrupt. Rome was immoral. Rome was ungodly. Rome was oppressive. Rome was taking the tax dollars that they got from Israel and using it to put soldiers there that continued to oppress them. I mean, they paid to support their war machine and keep the occupation going, but here he says, "You look, pay your taxes." Here's the idea that I think we should try to understand. God established that there would be governments, and that those governments had the authority to enact laws and then to require those laws be kept. Governments have the ability, and in fact, they have to punish lawbreakers. Even a government that is broken, and every government on earth is broken, but even a government that's broken is better than anarchy. You know what anarchy is? It is no law. It is where it's every man for himself. I want you to imagine living in a country where there are no police. No police, no laws, people can do whatever they want. And in such a place, might makes right. So a roving gang of thugs that have guns, they take what they want. They do what they want. It's and nobody's there to stop them. You on your own. Imagine anarchy. We can't imagine it, but even a broken government is better than anarchy. Go ahead, Dave.
Are you going to touch on Acts chapter 4 later?
Yeah, I'm going to go over there. Go ahead, brother.
I keep thinking about the Middle East when they had the kings like the Shah of Iran and even Saddam Hussein. I mean, they were terrible people, but there was some kind of order, right? Some kind of order after they were removed. I mean, it really went bad without it. I mean, even though they were terrible people, they kept order and peace to an extent.
Yeah. I know what you're saying there. You see it in some of the countries in Africa still today where the government has no power to, they just don't have the ability to govern and to guard. And sometimes they don't have the resolve to guard their own people, their own citizens. For instance, the Christians in Nigeria, look what's happening to them. They're being slaughtered every single day, and their own government doesn't protect them. So, look, there's a lot of broken government all over the world. Let's turn to yet another passage. I want you to look with me over to Titus chapter 3. I'm just going to turn over there quickly. Titus. After 1st and 2nd Timothy is Titus. And chapter 3. Verse 1. Here's what Paul tells Titus, he says, put them in mind, that is, put the believers in mind, remind them to be subject to principalities and powers. Here he's talking again about the government, the authorities, those who are in authority. To obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man. What about a politician? Would they be included? To speak evil of no man. Actually, it means to speak evil of no one at all. Speak evil of no one at all. To not be a brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. The New King James says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Remind them. Admonish them, one version says. Make it clear to them, another version says. And Wiest brings out the tense of the instruction here. And you know what he says? Be constantly reminding them. Constantly remind them what? To be subject to those in authority. You know why he says you got to constantly remind them? Because, boy, we need to be constantly reminded. It's so easy to get in the flesh and start speaking evil about things where we think we know what we're talking about, but generally we don't. To speak evil of no man, but to be gentle. And did you keep your finger in 1 Peter?
Yep.
All right, let's go back there. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Our text is chapter 2, right? We're going to do all of this, speaking evil of no one, putting ourselves in submission to the government, the authorities, those in power. Verse 15, 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God. For so is the will of God. That with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The ignorance, agnosian, where we get our word agnostic, but actually this agnosian, the put to, that we put to silence, literally put a muzzle on the mouth of the agnosians, those who are in willful, intentional, brazen defiance of God, rejection of truth. That's the idea, that you shut their mouths by well-doing. You shut the mouths, you muzzle the mouths of the foolish. That's the idea. Verse 16, as free, because we are free in Christ, but does that freedom mean that you can act like the world acts, talk like the world talks, have the attitude the world has? No. As free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. Remember, we're the servants of God, and those that are in authority are there by the ordinance of God. So we don't use our freedom as an excuse to do evil. I'm free in Jesus. I'm a Christian. We're supposed to live like people who are serving God. Here's what the Bible says you and I are supposed to do. Our attitude towards our leaders. Pray for them. He tells us in 1 Timothy 2, I exhort that first of all, he says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Pray for them. This is good and acceptable in God's sight. Pray for kings and all that are in authority, unless they're of a different political party than you. You don't say that? Okay, so I guess we don't have that exemption. For kings and for all that are in authority. You know, we should be praying for our president, our vice president, every senator, every congressperson. We should be praying for all the judges and justices. You and I should be praying for our governors and mayors. Go ahead, Dave.
It doesn't even say pray that you'll get Christian leaders. It just says pray that your leaders will allow you to live a peaceable and godly life.
This is true.
I have people that are disagreeing with me. I said, I really don't care about the individual in an office. I want to know, are they going to allow us to live a peaceable and godly life? That's what the Bible says.
That is exactly what the Bible says. We also know that the Bible says when we pray for them that this is good and acceptable in the eyes of God our Savior. You know, this idea that God established the human governments, we see it in the Old Testament. You see it, it's mentioned in Daniel. Can I read a verse or two to you? You don't have to turn here, but you can just write it down if you like, if you're taking notes. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Oh. He puts sometimes base, that's not really the best of men, but sometimes the worst of men. You want to remember, God said, hey, I raised up Pharaoh. Romans 9, I raised up Pharaoh. Pharaoh who resisted Moses. Pharaoh who refused to let the children of Israel go. Pharaoh, the ungodly Pharaoh. God said, I raised him up. I put him there. He needed an ungodly man there because his intent was to destroy Egypt. And it took an ungodly man to bring it to pass. So God has purposes way beyond our understanding. But there are a number of passages we could consider. How about we make our way over to Acts? We still got a few minutes tonight. Let's turn over to Acts because Dave asked about a passage over here. There's actually two I'd like for us to see. We'll look at Acts chapter 5 first, where the apostles was set before the council. Verse 28, Acts 5:28. Listen to what they said. They put him before this council. The high priest, now this is the potentate, he asked them, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? They were teaching in the name of Jesus. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring upon us this man's blood. Then Jesus and the other apostles answered and said, Peter. What did I say? Oh, yeah. Pay attention, Rusty. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So you see, this our sister asked, does this apply when the government's requiring you to do things that, if they forbid you to do things that God says you should do, like we should be witnessing, teaching, proclaiming the name of Christ, and the government said, don't do that. Here's what Peter said. What are we going to do? Are we going to listen to God? Are we going to listen to you? Guess. You guess which one we're going
to
do. So that's what they did. They listened to God. And the same thing is in Acts chapter 4. We see, if you'll turn over there, just a chapter or so. This, you know, this is in response to the healing of the man who sat at the gate called Beautiful, who had never walked. He was lame from his mother's womb. And they healed him. And Acts 4, I'm going to pick up in verse 16. You know, you got the council. They get together. Verse 15, they don't know what to do. Because this guy's healed now. And I mean, what are they going to say? So they had this conference. And they said, verse 16, what are we going to do to these men? Obviously a notable miracle has been done by them. I mean, it's obvious to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But we got to stop it from spreading any further. So let us go out and threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than unto God? Judge ye. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So they threatened them some more, verse 21, and then they let them go, and they went out, and what did they do? They preached. Yeah, they prayed. They said, Lord, behold their threatenings, verse 29, grant unto us that with all boldness we might speak your word and stretch forth your hand to heal and give us signs and wonders. And hey, verse 31 says they went out, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they preached the word of God with boldness. So, you know, when we're called to obey the government, it doesn't mean that we always obey without exception. There are times when we may have to disobey the government and submit ourselves to a higher authority, which is the Word of God, the God of the Bible. But I want you to notice this, too. When they disobeyed their government or disobeyed their leaders, these authorities, they did it without being rebels. They still respected the office of these men. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
So if we're in that situation, we have to be prepared to accept the consequences.
This is correct. When we disobey for the right reasons in order to render our submission to the highest of all authorities, we have to be aware that they don't bear the sword in vain and there can be consequences for our disobedience. We may have to deal with some punishment here. But I think it's important that we pay attention. They did not cause a riot. They did not cause some kind of insurrection. They didn't try to gather the apostles together and overthrow the authorities. When they came to arrest the Lord, what did he do? He didn't even allow his disciples to take up the sword and defend him. So he didn't say, you guys don't have any authority. In fact, what he did say to Pilate, when Pilate said, why don't you answer me? He said, you know, you would. Pilate said, I have the authority to have you killed. The Lord said, you would not have any authority at all unless it was given you from above. So what did the Lord say? His authority was God-given. So you and me, let's remember this. Let's remember this always, that we live in a broken world. The government isn't perfect. No matter who's in charge, Democrat or Republican or none of the above, it doesn't matter. It's broken. And you and I must be respectful of those in authority and submit ourselves to the government, whoever is in authority. Whether or not we like all the things they do, we're to submit respectfully, and we're to submit continuously. If I had more time, I'd talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, under Nebuchadnezzar's rule in Babylon, when they said, hey, when you hear the music play, everybody bows everywhere, and you bow to the image. And they said, yeah, we're not going to do that. But they didn't rebel against the government. And he said, well, you know, we'll throw you in the furnace. And he said, you know what? Our God can deliver us if he wants to, but if not, we're still not going to bow in front of your image. That's what they said. It was respectful. They knew there could be consequences, and they were thrown into the furnace. And they survived. They lived. Daniel himself, thrown into the lion's den. When Darius made a law, nobody, now you got a Persian king, you know, now he says, nobody can pray to any other god except me. So what did Daniel do? Well, he prayed to God, just like he always did. Got arrested. He was so mad, Darius was so mad, he said, I'm going to give you a second chance. Daniel chapter 6, you read it when you get home. He said, I'm going to give you a chance to pray to me. Oh, I'm going to throw you in the lion's den. Yeah, he said, well, he's not going to pray to you. He's only going to pray to God. Yeah, and he got thrown in the lion's den. You know the story. But anyway, praise God. So let's remember, it's the will of God that we obey, that we submit. And I like what 1 Peter 2:13 says. We do it for the Lord's sake. We do it, you know, so that we're not an embarrassment to our God by our behavior, by our conduct. Don't embarrass the Lord by acting like a spoiled, rotten child. You ever had, if you have children, you ever had a child embarrass you?
No.
Just humiliate you? I had somebody told me just this past week how humiliated they were by their teenage daughter. You know, that trying to introduce the daughter to somebody and the daughter wouldn't even look at him, wouldn't even talk to him, just turned away and sullen, just seemed so disrespectful. And the mama said, what did I go wrong? I mean, what if that my daughter would act this way? Now, none of you, I know, have never been embarrassed by your children. Probably. Never, ever. But, you know, they can be spoiled. They can be petulant. They can be ugly, mean-spirited. They can say terrible things. And we can just want to shrink, you know. Well, you know what the Bible tells us? Don't you be an embarrassment to your Lord. You're a child of God. Don't bring embarrassment to the Lord because you act like such a foolish person, that you act like the world, act like a devil. Don't let your conduct embarrass the Savior so that you don't reflect the Christ that lives in you. We'll quit there. Father, we pray tonight that you do help us to live the life you've called us to live, one of compliance, one of submission, one of surrender, first and foremost to you, to your word, but also to our government. Help us to be respectful. Remind us, Lord, of how we speak. Remind us of our conduct and behavior and even our thoughts, so that we bring no shame or embarrassment to you. Lord, we do pray for those in authority, in our local community, in our state, and in our nation. And we pray, just as you told us to, that we would be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and holy reverence. Lord, let these liberties continue, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen, amen. Amen.